Turn me to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Genesis 12, first chapter, 12th chapter, first verse. Then put a finger in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Amen. Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Hebrews 11, verse 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in a tent. And so did Isaac and Jacob, to whom God gave the same promise. Abraham did this because he was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. I just want to read one more thing. Romans 6:16. It says, do you not know that if you present yourselves as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey?
All right.
Either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness. I want to talk from the subject under the influence. Under the influence. And I haven't preached this sermon in a while, but I thought it was fitting because of the end of the year and all the things that transpired this year really determine whose influence we are under. From January to December, somebody has been controlling us. Somebody has been leading our lives in wrong ways or right ways. But that person or that thing or that entity can only be led if we allow it to lead us. In other words, whatever it is, that thing that we treasure and cherish the most, that's what influences us. Here we have Abraham, 75 years old. Most people at 75 are content with where they are. Am I right? You 70 and above? God was to come down and say, now, Miss Rachel, I need you to go over to East Africa. And I want you to go there and I want you to start a brand new family. Miss Rachel would look at God and probably say, Lord, I don't know if you know this, but I'm through having kids. Or Miss Rachel might say, if you call me, then I got to go. Now, Tracy might not be happy because Mama is leaving town and to start a new family. The bottom line is that something has to give when God calls. You can hem and haw all you want to. But if God calls, something got to give. Now, either you going to give it to him or you going to keep it for yourself. Abraham understood that the only way God was going to give me the promise was I had to go. Now, 75 years old, can you at least tell me where I'm going? But God don't work in the know of man.
All right.
In other words, he's not dedicated to our schedule. He doesn't have to provide us any information on a journey. All he has to simply say is, I need you to go. And if you go, I'm going to make you a great nation. So Abraham, he hears God's call, and he's obedient to the call, and he packs up his bags, his people, and he goes to no in particular place, but just a direction. Now, when you travel with family, it's not the easiest thing to do.
All right.
I've been on trips with my children. Long trips. One of the biggest questions, they even made a movie about it. Are we there yet? And as long as you haven't stopped moving, they still want to know, are we there? How long is it going to take to get there? I'm hungry. Can we stop? I got to use the restroom. But we just stopped a minute ago. I didn't have to use it back then. In other words, when you are traveling with folk, stuff gonna come up. Now, for Abraham to say, let's pack up and let's go and let's follow God, even though the text don't show it, I'm sure there were many detractors saying, Abraham, have you lost your mind? This here is your home. This is where you are well established and they know who you are. And everything around you seems like it's good. But yet, Abraham was called out because Abraham had no seed.
All right.
A man 75 years old wants something to call his own.
Yeah.
So God called him out and God said, I will give you what you desire, but you got to follow me. The question becomes, how many people are ready and willing to follow God to get what you want?
All right.
Abraham took Sarah and they went out under the influence of God. Now, when you're under his influence, he has you covered. In other words, God ain't going to send you out to fail. How many think he'll send you out to just leave you out there? See, if God takes time to call us, then he's going to make sure you have everything you need for the journey.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But the one thing that we must have is what? Faith. We got to have the faith that God is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. And one thing that I want you to understand is that if we have the faith that God will do what he said he will do, then we don't have to do anything in the journey other than what? Follow him.
Yes, sir.
But because we're human, we're flesh, sometimes God's plan is not fast enough for us.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you know the story because Abraham and Sarah tried to put a monkey wrench in the program. Now here, God was definitely God of God, and he was going to carry them through, but somehow they felt like, God, you ain't going fast enough, because every year that passes, I grow older. If Abraham grows older and Sarah grows older, she's already laughing. Ain't no way in the world I'm going to be pregnant. So I'll tell you what we're going to do, Abraham. I'm going to give you my handmaiden. Now you go ahead and you sleep with her and you give us a seed. Now, Abraham, I'm kind of surprised. Because Abraham was the one who received the assignment from God.
All right.
So if you receive the assignment from God, should nobody be able to pull you off that track?
Come on.
The problem is that Abraham entertained Sarah's request. What Abraham should have said was, now, Sarah, God said, I don't need no other woman. One woman is enough for me. But Abraham liked the thought of Sarah saying, why don't you sleep with her and give us a seed? And therefore, Abraham just tripped over into a little bit of madness. That was not God's picture or God's design. That was man and woman trying to do something outside of God. And they had to end up paying for that. Read the story, you'll find out. But ultimately, they were under the influence of God. And sometimes when you don't follow the full influence, you make mistakes. You make mistakes along the journey. When you feel like you can help God out, who gave you a PhD that you could outsource God and think for him when it's his plan, it's his mission? Now, I can see if you said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go out and make me a nation of my own self. Then you're on your own. But if God is leading you somewhere, then it is your opportunity and your job to follow God. Not let things throw you off the path like other family members, because that's what happens. Because people doubt that God talked to you. And I know God. The world would God talk to you and not talk to us along with you? You know, how come we got to go? He called you. He didn't call us too. But as a true leader, you got to understand that if I'm going to lead, I must lead by example and consistency. In other words, you can't be a leader and you always shucking and jiving. One minute you say one thing, the next minute you say another thing. They had to understand when Abraham said, pack your bags, it's time to go. Everybody packed their bags and they knew we might can fuss and fight, but on the inside, we still gone. When I tell my kids be in the car by 6 o'clock, they better be in the car by 6 o'clock because they know we're going somewhere. Who influences you? What influences you? Because whatever influences you, it's what controls you. 2012 is coming to an end. And many of us had things control us, didn't we? Circumstances. People. Places. Trappings. Stuff. Controlled us throughout the whole year. We spent more time running and hiding than we did leading. We spent more time trying to figure out how to get out of a mess that we should have never got into. Not because God put us in a mess, but because we ourselves decided to veer off the path that God had for us. See, how in the world can I be born again? How in the world can I be a Christian? How in the world can I be everything that God wants me to be when I'm nowhere where God needs me to be? Influence is that thing which drives you, which pushes you, which motivates you, which tells you when to get up, which tells you when to go to bed. It tells you how to play hard, how to play soft. It tells you everything. Everything that influences you, it runs you around wherever it wants to. Abraham never made it to his destination. But one thing about God is that his promises are true. Went from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. In other words, everything you do is not necessarily designed for you. In order to be a blessing, you got to follow God. If you want your family to prosper, if you want your family to be blessed, you got to follow God. You might not see the fruit of your labor, but if you stay on track, I guarantee you the blessing is coming through. Abraham didn't do it for himself. He did it for his future. God gave him a seed. Sarah gave birth to the promised son. And God, being God, still says, well, I know that you allow this to happen, but what still influences you? I need you to take your son and sacrifice him. Are you still going to follow me? Abraham packed his son up to go sacrifice him. Now, God told me that he's going to give me a promised seed. He's going to give me the heir. I'm going to be the father of many nations. And now the promised child, I'm about to go sacrifice. That don't make sense. That don't add up. But if you're under the influence of God, you realize that God knows what he's doing.
Yes, sir.
I don't understand everything that's going on in my life, but if I just stay close to God long enough, I believe I'm going to find out some stuff. So he took him up to sacrifice him. And just as Abraham was about to bring the knife down, God stopped him. Whose journey are you on? Whose mission are you on? When it seems like you're getting off track, God said, no, you're right where I need you to be. I just need to know that you are 100% faithful to me. Because if you put your child in front of me, you can't serve me.
All right.
If you put your job in front of me, you can't serve me. If you put your relationship in front of me, you can't serve me. If you put those things that you treasure the most in front of me, you can't serve me. And if you can't serve me, how can I help you? Abraham had to sacrifice the most thing that he was willing to, that he loved the most, his only son. At the age of 90-something years old, this chance probably won't come back no more. As a matter of fact, this was the only child other than the one out of sight of God that Abraham had. And with the faith, he said, I'll sacrifice my son. And when God saw that, he knew, now I can work with you.
Yeah.
See, 2012, you put a whole lot of things in front of God. And you wondered why you caught so much hell. It's because you started the mission right. You said, not this year. I started the journey in January. I was on my knees praying more. I was in Bible study. I was in Sunday school. I was doing what God told me to do. Then January 2nd came and I stopped everything. All these New Year's resolutions. What I'm going to do different. What I'm going to do better. I'm going to follow God. It's how we started it off. But somewhere along the line, God didn't work fast enough for us. We began to do things our way again. We began to fall back into that same old rut. I love the Lord, but I don't love him that much. I want to get closer to God, but I know if I get closer to God, there's more responsibilities. I want to be reliable to God, but you want too much from me. I want to give, but I got too many other things on my plate.
Come on.
I want to serve, but I can't find time to serve. I'm too busy sitting. I know that you've given me life. I know that you woke me up every morning. I know you keep me. You put food on my table. You put a roof over my head. You put clothes on my back. You keep me living. You keep giving me your breath each and every second that I breathe. I understand all those things, but yet somehow I can't seem to let you control me.
Well,
I can't give you the strings to my life. Because if I give you the strings, you're going to take me down some roads that I don't think I really want to go down. Matter of fact, if I really let you in charge of my life, you're going to open up some dark places that I don't want to see, that I don't want to face. You're going to make me answer some real questions about how I'm living in my life and which way I'm going. See, you shine light on dark places, and as long as I can hide in the dark, I think I'm safe. I want to, then I don't.
Yeah.
I want to love you, but then I don't.
Yeah.
I want you to have all influence over me, but then I don't. But you'll never get the promise unless you give him 100%.
Yeah.
What influences you today? Who pulls your strings? Who leads you in righteous paths? Who leads you down dark places? Is it a man? Is it a woman? They love you so much. They give you breath. They give you life. But yet we give all of our power to them. We find ourselves doing things we've never done before in our lives to please another individual, even though they don't have our best interests at heart.
Well.
Folks say, well, I love God, but I don't see him here. And right here is a person that I can see. And I want them in my life, even though God is saying they're bad for you. But I just got to have them, Lord. I got to have her. You know, it's getting cold. I need somebody to lay down next to.
Well,
God said, but that's wrong. I can't get you to where you need to go if you're not following the path. Well, I got a lot of problems, Lord. And I like to go to the bar from time to time. Get me a drink and kind of wash my problems all away. So therefore, my paycheck goes to that drinking. Sometimes I drink alone. Sometimes I'm in my house, drinking up everything in the kitchen. But I'm at home with my problems. And it seems like for a moment that all of them go away.
Wow.
The problem is that when it wears off, you in the same situation you was in before you started, and sometimes you worse. Some folks seek after drugs for a temporary fix or a temporary high. If I get high, I know that I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. But the high goes away. The trouble still remains. You can't put your life in the hands of something that will leave you cold and dry. Something that does not know you, did not create you, don't care two shakes about you.
Come on, come on.
Who are we giving our influence to? Maybe it's your job. I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to work as hard as I can so I can make as much as I can. And so you are being driven so much to work so much, to make so much, that you're missing life. You're missing Bible study because you're working two and three jobs.
Well,
trying to make ends meet for things you created that you had no business creating because you didn't follow God's path. And now you're sitting there working three to four jobs and trying to figure out when I'm going to find time to sleep because I'm too busy doing all this work. So your job, your boss, they pull your strings. The bottom line is, whoever controls you,
well,
that's what leads you. Whatever you give your love to,
well,
that's what leads you. Whatever you put your heart in, that's what leads you. God is saying, put your life in my hands. Because your life in my hands is a better situation.
Yes, sir.
See, God knows what he's doing with his created. Abraham jumped wholeheartedly into God's hands. He said, look, Lord, I'm going to let you lead me because I believe your hands is better than my hands.
Well,
see, many of us are still fooling around with our own hands, fooling around with man's hands, fooling around with job hands, fooling around with everything that wants to lead us. And we just like a little puppet, posted up, ready to go, whichever way the puppeteer throws us. She looked good, here I go. He looked good, here I go. There's some alcohol, there I go. There's some smoke, Yeah, I know. What controls you? Because in order for you to start living your life, you got to put your life in the right hands. So it all boils down to what's hand you in. You see, a hammer in my hands is just a nice tool. But a hammer in Noah's hands will build an ark to save a remnant of a dying world.
Come on.
Because it all depends on whose hand it's in. A bird in my hands is just a pretty bird. But a bird in Noah's hands would tell a dying world that it would soon live again. Because it all depends on whose hand it's in. A rod in my hands is just a walking stick. But a rod in Moses' hand will part the Red Seas in your life, because it all depends on whose hand it's in. A jawbone in my hands is nothing more than the skeletal remains of a dead animal. But a jawbone in Samson's hands will slay the Philistines in your life, because it all depends on whose hand it's in. Five smooth stones in a slingshot in my hands is nothing more than a kid's toy. But five smooth stones in a slingshot in David's hands will drop the giants in your life, because it all depends on whose hand it's in. A dead child in my hand is a funeral procession waiting to happen. But a dead child in Jesus' hands is just asleep and will soon rise again. Because it all depends on whose hand it's in. Spit and dirt in my hands is just a nasty mess. But spit and dirt in Jesus' hands will help a blind man from birth see for the very first time. Because it all depends on whose hand it's in. Two fish and five loaves of bread in my hand is nothing more than a two-piece snack. But two fish and five loaves in Jesus' hands is an all-you-can-eat buffet. Because it all depends on whose hand it's in. Nails in my hands might get you a picture hung. But nails in Jesus' hands, stretched up between two thieves, was the perfect picture of salvation. Because it all depends on whose hand it's in. Keys in my hands might get you into my house. But keys in Jesus' hand, early on a Sunday morning, after getting up with all power, will one day lock the gates of hell and open the doors of heaven. It all depends on whose hand it's in. Your life in 2012 is just a mess. But in 2013, I want to see God's hands just like that. And I want to jump into God's hands, because that way I know I'm going to be successful where I was a failure. It all depends on whose hand it's in. If you want a successful new year, put your life in his hands. Let God influence everything you do, everything you, every move you make, every prayer, every talk, everything that you say, that you do. Let God lead. And I guarantee you, you're going to be successful. And when things get hard, hold your hand out like that. The Bible says that we were created in his image. If I was to look at my hand, I see God's hands. And I see a bunch of cracks and crevices. So if my hand is like God's hands, and I put my life in his hands, that even when I fall, even when I stumble, no matter which way I turn or I roll, I'm gonna still be in his hands. If it get real rough, I can hide behind a crack, because I know I'm in his hands. As long as we hold on to Jesus. What? My life is going to be wonderful. Because I'm not going to let the negative stuff get me down. I'm going to focus on the positive things because I'm in his hands. The Bible says that he will never leave me nor forsake me. If I'm going to believe that, if I'm going to be like Abraham, if I'm going to be like Isaac, if I'm going to be like Jacob, if I'm going to be like David, if I'm going to be like Samson, if I'm going to be like Paul, I got to place my life in his hands. And as long as I do that, I'm going to have a good story. I didn't say about the problem and the issues when we get off track, because we're still in his hands. We can't get away from that. But if I stay on point long enough and I continue to follow him, he's coming back. And he's going to pluck me out of his hand. Even Jesus himself said, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Now, if Jesus can put his spirit in God's hands, and his spirit is now in us, yeah. 2012 is about to end. You can't take none of it with you. None of the problems, none of the issues, none of the illnesses, none of the sicknesses. Everything that happened in 2012 is 2012. Now we're moving into another. Start it fresh. Give it to God. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. When all else fails and you just don't understand what's going on, just keep following. Keep following until he, what, comes through. Because I know he's going to come through. Because I read my Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and whenever all was lost, he came through. Abraham, he came through. Samson lost his hair. He came through. Moses at the Red Sea, children wanted to go back to Israel. He came through. Jesus died on the cross. But on Sunday morning, God came through. Life is going to be what you make it. This year, it's going to be what you make it. You can't blame nobody. You can't say, well, if I had this or if it wasn't for him. No, it's me and God with my life in his hands. So the only one we can blame is who? So if life is going to be good, follow God. If it ain't, I got to tell you, man, your 2013 going to look worse than 2012 because you ain't got it yet. Until you see it, you ain't got it. Know he can handle you. Know he can cradle you. Know he can keep you. Know he can sustain you. Know he will deliver you. And know he will rescue you. And know he's a resource for you. And know he's a reliever for you. And know he's a friend. He's a mother, a father, a doctor, a lawyer, a physician. He's everything you need him to be. He is, I am. Now, if you don't understand all the words that just came out of my mouth, I feel for you. But the bottom line is, every second that God gives you, you got choices to make. Either he's going to pull your strings or someone else is going to pull your strings. Because whether you believe it or not, somebody is going to always pull your strings because you give it over to them. Give it to God. Let him control you. And watch you start making good decisions. Don't cry about the bad ones you made in the past. Correct it. Live from it. Learn from it. And start making new decisions. The right decisions. Amen?
Amen.
Doors of the church are open this morning.